on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply. At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike. And you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What are we going to talk about today, Sean?
So today, I thought we could talk about... it started out where I was going to say, let's talk about blazes, but really kind of everything related to trail markings and
okay, and
what the trails have on them to like keep you on track
to make sure you're on the right path.
Right, okay. Exactly. Okay, so I don't know, how do you want to start? Here's what I thought we could do. So you and I are recording this from one of our hiking trips. We are currently in the Huron National Forest at Hoist Lakes. So let's talk about the types of markings that they have here.
Okay.
And then we can kind of wander off onto some of the
right markings. So I guess I'll give my little tidbit here is I don't really care for the trail markings here based on what we've had previous experience with, which isn't a lot.
Right.
But this, they have diamonds, blue nailed diamonds to the trees.
Yeah, like blue metal diamonds that are nailed or screwed to the tree.
Some people have taken the liberty of shooting them.
Yep. And I would say they don't have enough of them.
Right. That's the part that I don't really care for, is that there are times this trail is a little overgrown at times, and we have even asked each other, turn around, and like, do you think we're still on the path?
Like we started out, like we took one turn and I'm like, I think this is the path, but I'm not entirely
sure this is the trail or not. So there could have been more, especially around those overgrown sunnier areas.
Yeah.
But so that was the marking on this trail. There were signs. So this is one of those trails where there are numbered posts.
Right.
So you map it out saying, I'm going to go from, for example, today we went from 7 to 6 to 5 to, you know, so you go to down your list of markings.
I will give them credit where credit is due. Those signposts were really nice that they had.
Yes.
So, like, you come up to an intersection or whatever, and then there's an actual, you know, a post with a waterproof map on it.
Yeah.
With like a real nice, this is where you're at indicator.
This is how many miles it is to get
where you're
going.
This is how many miles it is to the next one. Yeah, exactly. Like those, super nice.
Right.
The problem is those are spaced like in 1.5-mile increments.
Right. So if not more. So
I need a little bit more direction.
Right.
In the interim.
Because the woods are winding and not so clear all the time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This was not the nicest groomed trail.
No.
It seems like is there's not as much traffic on this trail. Like, it's not one of the popular ones, right?
Right. So, which, I mean, from all of the other things that we have said, is that this is kind of our niche, where, like, we don't want to run into a lot of people.
Funny you say that. Funny you say that, because when we were hiking today, I'm like, man, I don't really want to say anything about it, like, I don't really want to wish more people were out here, but I kind of need a few more people out here to trample some of this down.
Yeah, it was a little overgrown, and I mean, I am very surprised with the limited number of ticks that we had.
Oh, for sure.
With as overgrown as it was.
Yeah.
I mean, some people panic at one. I'm not those people. Haven't taken my pants off yet, so I'm not 100% sure how many are.
final tick check to come.
Right. But I will say the other trails that we were on, like Bowman Lake, when we recorded our intro last spring, we ended up with, I think I had over 20 on just me.
So, I mean, I didn't think the ticks were as bad as I was expecting them to be here. Just because you read on the internet, like, oh, right. Ticks are going to be so bad.
That trail was way more groomed, way more traffic, too.
For sure.
So,
yeah. But anyway, is neither here nor there. The markings on this trail, not my favorite. But,
correct, yeah.
Here's the other thing that I didn't love about the markings on this trail. At least in what research I did before we came here, I wasn't sure how it was going to be marked.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I wish that the Forest Service or something would put something on there like follow the blue triangles or something like that.
Right.
Like, and none of the maps that we downloaded, did they have any of that indication on them?
Well,
and I'm not saying you have to, but
it would be nice.
I feel like it would be nice to know before.
Like on the North Country Trail, it tells you to follow the blazes.
Right.
And it, if you look hard enough or you research hard enough, it tells you how to follow the blazes.
Right.
And this trail had zero of that. So there were points where the trail could have gone to the left. You're pretty sure it went to the right, but you could have gone to the left.
Right.
There was nothing indicating whether you should turn, whether you should go straight, left.
Yeah.
Or around either side, there was still no diamond. So there was a lot of questioning. Are we on the trail still?
Right.
So
that you kind of opened the door to the North Country Trail and how they do it. Do we want to talk maybe about, I mean, because that's our, let's be honest, it's probably the trail we spend the most time on.
That's the most experience we had. We've had other trails that have similar markings that I really prefer that.
Yeah.
But that's because that's what we're used to.
Here's what I like about, okay, so for anybody that doesn't know what a blaze is, first and foremost, a blaze, think of like, I read on the internet that they were 2 inches by 6 inches. I feel like the ones that we usually see are a little bit bigger than that, but it's basically a rectangle painted on a tree in a specific color.
Right.
On the North Country Trail, that color is blue. So the other thing that I like about the blazes on the North Country Trail, at least in the areas that we've been, the next one is always within eyesight.
Right. It's every like maybe 20 yards.
Yeah. Like you're never getting to a point, and maybe this is to the credit of the people that maintain the trail in our areas.
Right.
I guess I can't speak to outside of Michigan, but.
Or outside of the 60 miles or so that we've done.
Right. Well, we've done like the 60 miles we've done are in a few different jurisdictions. So.
Well, okay. So fair enough.
So I feel like that must be pretty consistent. I'm thinking it's consistent across the whole North Country Trail, but at least here in Michigan where we have been, you're never questioning like, oh, where's the next one at? Am I sure I'm on the right spot? Am I sure I'm still following the trail? Because from wherever you're at, you can always see one of the blazes.
There have been times where I'm just like, I haven't seen a blue blaze in a while. And you're like, oh yeah, there was one on the, because you know, I'm watching for a tree root, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's where the communication comes in.
That's like user error though.
Well, right. Yeah. That's I guess that's me.
You gotta pick your head up every once in a while and scan your surroundings.
I know.
But yeah, so that's how the North Country Trail does it. They have these super nice blue blazes. And I will say that in some sections of the North Country Trail, they also have like the signposts with the maps and stuff. So like when we were in Pictured Rocks, that was part of the North Country Trail.
Yeah.
But then it was also part of Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore.
Right.
So the National Park Service.
For the more touristy people saying, like, if you wanted to walk to this other place, it's going to be 3/4 of a mile or whatever.
Exactly. But they had the signposts and stuff in there mixed in with the blue blazes. So that is nice in those areas, but that's not across the board with the whole North Country Trail.
Right.
So Mike and I, as anybody that has listened to this for a while probably knows, we have not done like the Appalachian Trail. We have not done the Pacific Crest Trail. We have not done, what's the other one? the Continental Divide Trail. Right, we have not done that one. But supposedly those, from what I read on the internet, I do not know this firsthand, but so the Appalachian Trail supposedly uses white blazes.
Yep.
So again, a painted white rectangle.
But a similar fashion.
Similar fashion. But they also do use blue blazes for side trails.
Okay.
So like if you got like a little jaunt that goes up to a cabin, or if you've got a little jaunt that maybe is an alternative way to go around this lake or something like that, they will use blue blazes for that.
So to a caveat to that, and I guess it won't, it's not side quests or side trails, whatever, but the North Country Trail has the Huron, or the Manistee River Trail has like other little loops that go off of the North Country Trail, and those are gray or white or whatever. I know,
what was it on the Manistee River
Trail? I want to say it was white or gray, something
different than blue.
Yep.
Which I would assume they do that on purpose so that you know you're getting on a different trail.
Right. Completely different color.
Yeah.
Similar patterns, like the, you know, you can tell when you got to go straight, you got to turn left, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that's going to be hard to talk about, like, on the podcast. But so, like, the blazes have.
If we can put a picture on social media.
We can put a picture on our social media. So check our social media if we don't do a good job explaining this. But basically, your standard blaze is like a single rectangle.
Right. It's one 2x6, 2x4, 2x8, whatever.
Like tall rectangle.
Yep.
If the trail is going to turn to the right, then like if you're looking at a clock face, if the there's going to be two blazes on the same tree. And if you're looking at a clock face, one of them is right in the middle of a clock face. And then the other one's at like the 2 o'clock on the clock face. And that indicates turn right.
So they're both facing, they're going the same direction. They're both just upright rectangles. One is, we'll say center. One is a little bit to the upper right of that the first one. And that indicates you're on the right trail. But now you're going to have to turn right.
Correct.
So,
and then conversely, same sort of concept, but if you're going to turn left, it's like center of the clock face and at the 10 o'clock.
Right.
To indicate that you're going to go left.
Right.
When Mike and I first started doing this, we did not know that.
No idea.
Would have been very helpful to know that, because sometimes the trail turns, and if you don't know how to read that or you don't know that that means something, it's like, oh, okay, I don't really know where, I don't know what this means.
Right. We were looking and we're like, well, okay, so most of the time it's just one, and then sometimes it's two, and they're in different spots. I don't know what this, I don't know what's happening here.
So, yeah, so the Appalachian Trail, pretty much it says uses the white ones from what I was reading. Pacific Crest Trail, again, have not been there personally. My understanding is they also use white ones. And then the Continental Divide Trail, kind of from what I was reading, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of sounds like it mixes white and blue depending on where you're at. Like, it didn't look like it was like the same thing with the Appalachian Trail where they use it for side quests.
Huh. Well, so some of my notes say understand the colors, and there's white blazes common on national scenic trails like the Appalachian Trail. Blue blazes typically indicate side trails, access trails, or water sources, but the North Country Trail.
The North Country Trail is different than that.
And then yellow, red, and green, often used on local or state trails. Each color usually represents a different trail or route. Okay, so
who's using green?
Well, that would be stupid. Unless it's use orange. Come on.
Use orange. don't do green. That'd be like doing brown.
Right. Painting the tree brown. So I did see also that sometimes the blazes can be burnt, like they will burn them into the trees.
Okay.
And so they're not always a color. They're not always a...
Sometimes they're just burnt.
They're just burnt into the tree. Yep. So that's another thing too. Depending on what trail you're on, it's just a different way for a different trail person, whoever is maintaining that section of the trail that you're on.
I would like to see that in person to see if I feel like that's a good idea or not. Not like my opinion really matters, but like,
right. It says that I was reading they're less common, but they're either carved or burnt in. So
interesting.
Yep.
I wonder what the benefit of that would be. That feels like that would harm the tree to me.
Yeah, other than paint probably fades over time, whereas a carving or a burnt in doesn't.
That's fair.
So
good point. So I mean, there's really not a lot to say about blazes. They are what they are.
They are what they are. If you've seen them, you know what we're talking about. If you don't, if you haven't, I guess, then next time you're on a trail, look in the trees and see if you see those markings. Because I want to say the first time we saw them was part of the porcupines. And I think we had even said, well, if the rest of the trail had been marked this way, we would have been just fine.
Right.
We didn't get lost, but we had questions.
Yeah, exactly. And then supposedly, we haven't seen these much, but then supposedly there are different ones too, where there's like, they're in almost a triangle pattern. So there's like two on the bottom and then one centered above that on top of it.
I haven't seen those. Yeah.
I haven't seen them either. I don't know how popular those are, but it did mention it a few places on the internet. Apparently that indicates the start of a trail.
Okay.
Maybe that's why we haven't seen them on the North Country trail.
We have never been hopping
in the middle. And then same sort of concept, but flipped upside down, two on top, one below it marks the end of a trail.
Okay. Yeah, sure. But if one's the start, wouldn't it also be the finish?
Opposite side of the tree, friend.
Okay, got it. Okay. There it is.
Which is actually, okay, so that's a fairly good tip. So we mentioned on this trail, like, we get to spots where we're not even sure if we're on the trail.
Right. Turn around and look.
Turn around and look and see if you see anything behind you.
It's the same trail. Somebody's going to be going the other way.
Right. There might be one behind you that can see, that you can see to be like, okay, well, at least you know you're still on the trail, right?
Right.
Like, it's not going to tell you where to go going forward, but at least you know you are still on the
trail.
Keep going
in the direction you're going. You should find another marking soon. Another marking that we have seen a little bit, we haven't seen flags, but we have seen some ribbons. In the past.
Yeah, we have seen ribbons. I can't think of an example. I know we have.
I want to say it was by Bowman Lake, but that was all North Country Trail, and I want to say the ribbon I saw was pink.
I know which one you're talking about. I can't think of where that was at, though.
But so, that was how the trail was marked out. Was mostly ribbon or that color of whatever. So you just kind of go along with that color code. Again, it wasn't really said that's what it was. You figured it out once we got on the trail.
Right.
But so ribbons and flags, I think with wind and nature and
all sorts of stuff,
I don't love that method either. The blazes are fine. Trees can fall down, but so it is what it is, but
like you said, the paint needs kept up on.
Right. I mean, there's times where we've seen like the faded paint slightly below the new paint. And we're like, okay, that got redone recently, you know, like.
Yeah, but it takes somebody going out there to do it.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it. I get why that's hard to.
Yeah. And well, if you are one of those people, thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you're awesome.
Anybody maintaining any of these trails, thank you for maintaining them, because we certainly enjoy them. I know a bunch of other people.
Especially if you've had to build the bridge. I would love to hear from somebody that has hauled stuff out there to build a bridge, to build a staircase, to cut down a tree that's too big to cross or whatever. Like, I would love to hear from any of those people.
You know,
like,
how do you do that?
Right.
Because like some of these are most not of the trail, wide enough you're to not, be getting.
You're not hauling a wagon. You're not taking a side-by-side or whatever.
You're not taking a side-by-side. You're not getting a gator down there. Like, how are you getting all that stuff out there?
Right. And you can't be cutting all that at home and bringing that all out.
Right. Okay, so then you're bringing all those tools.
Right. And I'm sure you're not doing that all by handsaw.
I wouldn't think so. I mean,
maybe. But I don't know. But if you are one of those people, thank you. And please write in and let us know how this happens, because we would love to feature an episode on that.
Absolutely.
And maybe get a way to for people to donate, because I know there are ways to donate to the people that maintain these trails. Yep. I would love to maybe put that out there somehow.
Yeah. So anyway, we mentioned flags. I don't see that as often, especially for more of like the permanent trails. Like, you really don't see flags too often, at least not where we're at. The other thing that I don't even like bringing this one up, but I don't know how to say this word, which might be why I don't like saying bringing it up, but Cairns.
C-A-I-R-N-S.
Right. I don't feel like I say it right when I say it. Cairns.
It's like Karen without the E.
Yeah. I don't feel like my mouth makes that phrase very well. I mean, how can I explain it besides saying it's like a stacked rock?
Well, that's all it is. It's just stacked rocks. And we've mentioned them in the past. I've said, don't do them.
Right.
Don't stack rocks. Other people have stacked rocks. If you're in a survival situation, people stack rocks to make sure that they know that they have already been there. So if they're going in circles,
sure,
then they know they're there.
Sure.
If you see them, don't knock them over. But also, don't build them unless you're in an emergency situation.
So supposedly, and again, this is going off the internet because I don't have personal experience with this, but supposedly in like desert trail type situations or like not in the woods type situations,
okay,
they will do these cairns as guideposts or, you know, like as a thing to follow instead of the blazes or instead of the ribbons or instead of the stuff mounted to trees, because there's no trees to mount stuff to. So they will stack these rocks, and then that's what you're supposed to follow.
Yeah, because there might not be rocks to paint or
right
in every situation or whatever.
Right.
Okay.
So I don't know. I guess
around where we're at, the cairns that we see are just people stacking rocks.
Right.
In touristy places. Another... Right.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I can't stand. If they're there for a purpose, then by all means, use them and they're great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a problem with it that way, but yeah, I don't know. They piss me off. A lot.
Well, the ones that piss you off are the ones that are doing it just to
stack rocks.
Just to stack rocks, right? Like, if you're doing it for a reason,
yeah,
other than you think it looks cool,
right?
Yeah. Let's see. And then what else is there as far as like signposted?
We covered directionals, understand the colors, the frequency. Read your signs carefully is what my notes are saying. Pay attention to all the information, and as far as like distances, directions. We got to a trail header today.
We for sure do that.
Yeah, like we got to one and you thought we had to go the one way, and yep. I'm like, well, we came from this way, so you just kind of got to look at your trail because it was a fork in the road.
Yep.
You got to pay attention to where your next move is.
Not super well marked.
Right. Well, right. Again, not super well marked. A lot of the posts had 14 is that way, 13 is that way, or whatever, and this was just a choose-your-own-adventure.
Yeah. But generally speaking, most of like the actual trails that you're going to go on, they are in some fashion marked.
Right.
You're not just like out in the middle of the woods trying to guess.
Right.
Well,
I mean, and I guess a lot of that comes back to do your own research. but when you're planning where you're going, look at and maybe screenshot on your phone or whatever device you're taking the actual trail system and where you're planning on going.
Yeah.
We kind of mentioned that in how we plan our trips.
Right.
Make sure you know the area, in a sense, the trail might not be 100% to scale. It might not be, it might say it's a mile and a quarter when it's really like 1.32. Like it's not 100% accurate.
Right.
But just know whereabouts you're at. We knew today we should be coming up on the next
right
marker. Some of them were a little bit farther than what I had hoped for. but we at least knew, we were like, okay, we should be coming up on this yeah number. And then eventually we got to that number. We knew exactly where we were and how, approximately how many miles we had left to go.
Well, and I think that just goes to do your own research. I know. But like, but we always say, like, do a little bit of research before you go. And I can't imagine ever just picking a trail and then showing up without trying to have found a map
right
or anything, or like bring, I mean, realistically, you and I bring a map with us when we came.
Right.
So this trip, this is a shorter trip. It's not as big of an area. You can't get lost as easily.
Right.
So we didn't bring a printed map with us, but we both downloaded onto our phones the map of the area.
The map that is on the posts that we right would come up to. Which
we didn't know was going to be there.
Right.
But so we have a copy of the map with us, which, yes, I know phones can die. I get it. But worst case scenario, if Mike and I, like we talked about this trail not being super well marked, right? So let's say we had found ourselves no longer on the trail.
Mm-hmm.
Had walked for a few minutes. You're not on the trail anymore. Now you're trying to get back to the trail. But again, it's not super well marked and it's not super well groomed. So are you, and clearly you got off it at some point.
So are you really sure you're getting back to the trail?
So,
or the right trail?
Well, that's the thing. So we bring a compass, a copy of the map, and have a general knowledge from looking at the map before we came of like, okay, worst case scenario, if we get lost, get the compass out, just walk south. Eventually, right, you're going to get to this service road.
Right.
And then once you get to that service road, take a left or a right, and you'll be on a main road.
You'll be on a main road. Like, well, I mean, where we left our car, depending on where we wanted to go, if right we want to get back to the car, take a direction, and then you just follow the road.
Right.
So,
but, so there's is a backup plan. Like
right
if we find ourselves off the path,
right,
can't figure out where we are.
Well, I mean, I heard a road, the highway next to.
Did you?
I heard it.
I guess I didn't notice that.
So at first I thought it was an animal. I stopped, listened, and it was a motorcycle or something that was on the highway. So I was like, okay, so we're not that far from the road.
Sure.
So if something were to happen, just go in that direction and we're on a road.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world. So fortunately, I avoided all injuries today. We didn't need that option.
Right. Right. But yeah, so that was just one of the notes that I had, you know, have kind of a backup plan. Like if it's not well marked, figure out how you're going to do it. You know, most of the trails that you go on, you can kind of tell where the path is at. Like, so even without right the markers, you can usually, as long as you're not making a trail up from scratch,
right,
somebody's done it before, you can usually tell where people are kind of going.
Well, and if you know what a game trail looks like, that's generally what this trail reminded me of at a lot of yeah places, is that it's what deer or rabbits right or whatever, what they use. There's a little bit of the foliage that is just knocked down enough.
Yeah, like almost don't focus too hard and you can see it.
Right. Like one of those 90s
scrambly. Oh, the magic eye thing?
Yeah, I never got those to work. Never got them to work. But yeah, so don't focus too hard. The trail is there. And if, I don't know, from what I was thinking about it today, I was just like, you know, I like when I was leading, I was just like, well, I don't know if I'm on the trail or not, but Sean followed me and he didn't see another veer left or right. So both of us are wrong at that point if we got off the trail.
I mean, you were in front, so I was following you. I wasn't looking for other trails.
But, okay, so here's what a thing that I was thinking about when we were out there is that when you're in the lead, if you are the leader of two, we're the lead, we usually hike in just the two of us. But if you're in the lead at all, focus on the ground because I fell today. But focus on the ground so you know where you're stepping, but also keep your eyes up because
head on a swivel, baby.
You have to follow the blazes or follow the trail markings, follow it, whatever you've got to follow. But at the same time, the person in the rears should be validating that information.
I mean, that seems like good advice. I'm not going to say that that's what I was doing.
Well, the downside of being in front is all the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Is all the spider webs, all the bugs. Oh, all for the, sure. Yeah, that's the downside of being in front.
That is for sure the downside of being in front.
Swap. If you are the person that's always in the – if you're in a group of like five and you're constantly in the rear or in the middle, take the lead every once in a while.
Take the lead every once in a while. You and I feel like, do a pretty good job about swapping. I don't know. We were a few miles in today, and I was like, okay, you got to go in front. Right. I can't take it anymore.
I'm sitting there like, I saw you wiping yourself off, and I'm just like, oh, it must be pretty bad. And I'm sitting there, I'm clean as a whistle. I'm just like, this is nice.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's the duty of being in front is definitely to make sure your group stays on the course, but that doesn't alleviate everybody from paying attention.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. I know. I mean, we joke about, you know, like I wasn't paying attention, but realistically, I'm looking for the next blue or trail marker just as much as you're looking for the next trail marker.
Well,
you know?
Especially today when I was just like, well, I haven't seen one for a while. And I'm like, have you seen a diamond in a bit? And you're like, no. And you're not, I'm not sure we're on the trail. I'm like, okay, we'll just keep going. We'll find one. Yep.
And you do. Fortunately. Hopefully. I mean,
and to go back to, the porcupines, I forget what the trail markers were. I want to say they were gray something. They might have been blazes.
I feel like they were blazes.
And I want to say they were gray. But so we got you. We didn't know. We had no idea.
Right.
But there was a distinct point where I thought the trail went left and you were going straight.
Yep.
And I was just like, are you sure that's the way you go? And you're like, well, I didn't see anything that said otherwise. And I was like, well, this kind of looks like a trail here. And so we stood there for a minute.
We did. And then I think we actually kind of both diverged and walked a little bit to see if either of us could see. I can't remember what the markers were. I think you're right. Yeah. I think it was like a gray blaze.
But like, and then eventually one of us found, we're like, yeah, it's over here.
Yeah.
And so there are times where you're going to find that it's not the best marked thing.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to make it up as you go. And hopefully you make it up correctly. Because backtracking, especially if you're planning on doing 9 miles and you end up having to do it to 12, that's a pain in the dick.
That's a bad day.
That's a bad day.
Yeah.
So especially if you're cutting it close for daylight and all that kind of stuff anyway. So,
but again, that's, I mean, just to really drive the point home, another good reason to have a map with you, like, because you can get off the trail, and I don't I don't want this to be a downer, like it happens all the time, but like there is a chance you could wind up not on the trail.
I feel like that's I mentioned this before, is like, we're not trying to scare anybody.
For sure.
We're trying to inform and to make it so you don't, like, we're still doing it. We learned, we didn't have a podcast to listen to. We didn't have anything really to go off of other than our own research, which was a lot of people that have been doing it for years and years and years, making me feel like I should already know this.
Right. I know.
So that we're not trying to scare anybody from going on the trail. We are just trying to, this whole thing came about, like, we didn't have any help.
Right.
So we're just trying to help. So, or entertain. Whatever.
Both. I mean, both, realistically, hopefully it's a little bit entertaining. So,
but yeah, don't get scared to come out here, especially if you're in Michigan. You're never real far away from a water source.
For sure.
You're never real far away from a highway, unless you're in the UP.
Yeah, but, I mean, you for sure could get out in the middle of somewhere.
And
I imagine if you really got off the trail.
Yeah.
And you got, like, really off the trail.
Right.
It would probably be pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
Try to not get overwhelmed.
Right.
Use the... Hopefully, you at least have a compass so you can walk right. in a straight direction. Right, and you know direction. How to read it. Yeah, and you know how to read it. Hopefully, you have a map of some sort with you.
Right.
And then well,
and just... don't just take a map of the trail system you're on. Make sure that includes roads or, right. like, surrounding things.
Yeah.
Like... So you can say, okay, well, if I hit F32, let's say, right. like whatever county F30, like, you know, I've seen that before.
sure.
but so if I hit this road or H38 up in the UP, yeah. you know, like if you hit that road, at least you know that goes from here to here.
Yeah.
You know, so we haven't gotten lost yet. We are fairly new in this whole thing.
I know. I feel so, like if we can do it, most people can do
most
it.
Most people can do it. It's not that
we're,
hard.
We're not rocket scientists.
Sometimes so. It gets questionable. so, but, yeah, I thought that was a good one that we might cover while we're out here.
Yeah, I like it.
So
that's pretty much all I got on my notes. Did you have anything else on your notes?
No. Leave no trace? Do we want to...
I know, we didn't really do anything with Leave No Trace this time.
Well, I guess I'll say a real-time thing. Since we're out on the trail, the little fire pit that's at the site that we found had a beer can that was mostly burnt,
but yep.
it doesn't really burn. I found some foil. I found the remnants of a Mountain House MRE and a Cliff Bar.
Yeah.
So
pack it in, pack it out, folks.
Pack it in, pack it out. Sadly, somebody else packed it in, and we're packing it out.
Leave it nice for the next people.
Yep.
Well,
we're probably going through most of this firewood. I think we were going to leave most of this, but I think we're going to use it.
Yeah.
So, but, well, yeah.
As always, if anybody's got any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to email us. We're at SeanMikeHike@gmail.com. We're on all the major socials at SeanMikeHike.
Yeah.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you are listening to this.
And one last time, a big thank you to all the trail keepers.
For sure. And if you are a trail keeper for this section of the trail that we are on, thank you for what you do. Like, don't take this as, like, I am not grateful for
we know you have a real job and this is volunteer work.
I'm just saying there, when you get a chance, or, you know, somebody wants to do some volunteer work.
Right. This might not be an area where somebody just said, I'll put up the diamonds, but
right.
the rest, I mean, it is a national forest, so they probably want to let as much grow as they can. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how that works. If you know how that works, right. let us know.
Let we us know. To know. We've got questions.
I always have questions. So, that's all I got. Until next time.
Yeah, go take a hike.
Yeah, go take a hike, Mike.
Yep.
We'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See you in a couple weeks.